Okay. For those of you listening on the radio, we're in Chapter 2 of Sanctified Life, Daniel's Temperance Principles, page 18. And I'll start off at the top here. It says, the prophet Daniel was an illustrious character. He was bright. He was a bright example of what men may become when united with God, or with the God of wisdom. A brief account of the life of this holy man of God is left on record for the encouragement of those who should afterward be called to endure trial and temptation. When the people of Israel, their king, nobles, and priests were carried into captivity, four of their number were selected to serve in the court of the king of Babylon. One of these was Daniel, who early gave promise of the remarkable ability developed in latter years. These youth were all of princely birth and are described as children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Perceiving the superior talents of these youthful captives, King Nebuchadnezzar determined to prepare them to fill important positions in his kingdom, that they might be fully qualified for their court, for their life at court. According to Oriental custom, they were to be taught the language of the Chaldeans and to be subjected for 3 years to a thorough course of physical intellect and intellectual discipline. The youth in the school of training were not only to be admitted to the royal palace, but it was provided that they should eat of the meat and drink of the wine which came from the king's table. In all this, the king considered that he was not only bestowing great honor upon them, but securing for them the best physical and mental development that could be attained. I wonder if she's going to go into this, but we all understand what Daniel did. He didn't want to eat the rich foods, and of course, he didn't want to drink any of the wine. But I'll just leave it at that because I don't know if she touches on that. So whoever wants to go next.
Meeting the test. Among the viands placed before the king were swine's flesh and other meats which were declared unclean by the law of Moses and which the Hebrews had been expressly forbidden to eat. Here Daniel was brought to a severe test. Should he adhere to the teachings of his fathers concerning meats and drinks and offend the king and probably lose not only his position but his life, or should he disregard the commandment of the Lord and retain the favor of the king, thus securing great intellectual advantages and the most flattering worldly prospects? Daniel did not long hesitate. He decided to stand firm in his integrity, let the result be what it might. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1, verse 8.
Okay, can everybody hear me? Testing. All right, I'm going to give this a try. The text is really small for me, so it's kind of hard on my eyes, so bear with me. Not narrow or bigoted. It says, there are many among professed Christians today who would decide that Daniel was too particular and would pronounce him narrow and bigoted. They consider the matter of eating and drinking as too little consequence to require such a decided stand. One involving the probable sacrifice of every earthly advantage. But those who reason thus will find in the day of judgment that they turn from God's express requirements and set up their own opinion as a standard of right and wrong. They will find that what seemed to them unimportant was not so regarded of God. His requirements should be sacredly obeyed. Those who accept and obey one of his precepts because it is convenient to do so, while they reject another because its observance would require a sacrifice, lower the standard of right, and by their example lead others to lightly regard the holy law of God. Thus saith the Lord, is to be our rule in all things.
Amen. And that's the way the world is today. So many Christians, so many professed Christians, that is, go out and they declare, they embrace sinful things because it's too inconvenient to do otherwise. I mean, case in point, all our Seventh-day Adventist friends, that refused to leave the unclean thing because it's inconvenient. They'd have to give up way too much. It's just too big of a sacrifice. All right, the next one is titled A Faultless Character. It says, Daniel was subjected to the severest temptations that can assail the youth of today, yet he was true to the religious instruction received in early life. He was surrounded with influences calculated to subvert those who would facilitate between principle and inclination. Yet the Word of God presents him as a faultless character. Daniel dared not to trust to his own moral power. Prayer was to him a necessity. He made God his strength, and the fear of God was continually before him in all the transactions of his life. Daniel possessed the grace of genuine meekness. He was true, firm, and noble. He sought to live in peace with all while he was unbending as the lofty cedar, wherever principle was involved. In everything that did not come in collision with his allegiance to God, he was respectful and obedient to those who had authority over him. But he had so high a sense of the claims of God that the requirements of earthly rulers were held subordinate. He would not be induced by any selfish consideration to swerve from his duty. The character of Daniel is presented to the world as a striking example of what God's grace can make of men fallen by nature and corrupted by sin. The regard of his noble, self-denying life is an encouragement to our common humanity. From it we may gather strength to nobly resist temptation and firmly and in grace of meekness stand for the right under the severest trial.
Sorry, I'm trying to finish dinner here. God's approval dearer than life. Daniel might have found a plausible excuse to depart from his strictly temperate habits, but the approval of God was dearer to him than the favor of the most powerful earthly potentate, dearer even than life itself. Having by his courteous conduct obtained favor with Melzar, the officer in charge of the Hebrew youth, Daniel made a request that they might not eat of the king's meat or drink of his wine. Melzar feared that should he comply with this request, he might incur the displeasure of the king and thus endanger his own life. Like many at the present day, he thought that an abstemious diet would render these youths pale and sickly in appearance and deficient in muscular strength, while the luxurious food from the king's table would make them ruddy and beautiful and would promote physical and mental activity. Daniel requested that the matter be decided by a 10-day trial, the Hebrew youth during this brief period being permitted to eat of simple food, while their companions partook of the king's dainties. The request was finally granted, and then Daniel felt assured that he had gained his case. Although but a youth, he had seen the injurious effects of wine and luxurious living upon physical and mental health.
God vindicates his servant. At the end of the 10 days, the result was found to be quite the opposite of Melzar's expectations. Not only in personal appearance, but in physical activity and mental vigor, those who had been temperate in their habits exhibited a marked superiority over their companions who had indulged appetite. As a result of this trial, Daniel and his associates were permitted to continue their simple diet during the whole course of their training for the duties of the kingdom. The Lord regarded with approval the firmness and self-denial of these Hebrew youth, and his blessing attended them. He gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams, Daniel 1:17. At the expiration of the 3 years of training, when their ability and acquirements were tested by the king, he found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Verse 20.
Isn't that amazing? In just 10 days, they saw a marked difference, and then, of course, later on, the king realizes them 10 times better. It's amazing when you stand your ground, and the Lord will be there. Because if you think about that today, would you see a difference in 10 days? Not without faith, you won't. Yeah, I know. Everyone says what you eat just doesn't matter. But I don't know. I've seen both sides of the fence. And the strange thing is, I'm the oldest male of 11 children. And when we had that family tragedy a few weeks ago, I went out there to see them. And all my younger brothers look older than me because they do continue on with the food they eat and, you know, and drinking and whatnot and smoking, of course. Most of them still smoke. But it was amazing. And I still can't get my one brother that I used to hang with in high school out of my mind. He has dark circles under his eyes and everything. Looks like he's dying. And I so fear for him. I constantly keep him in prayer. He's very difficult to approach because of, you know, my ministry, the way they have a preconceived idea. Yeah, Adam, good point, library girl. Ask Adam and Eve if what you eat matters. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, let's finishing up this one. It says, self-control, a condition of sanctification is the title of this one, and it goes on to say that the life of Daniel is an inspired illustration of what constitutes a sanctified character. It presents a lesson for all, and especially for the young. A strict compliance with the requirements of God is beneficial to the health of body and mind. In order to reach the highest standard of moral and intellectual attainments, it is necessary to seek wisdom and strength from God and to observe strict temperance in all the habits of life. In the experience of Daniel and his companions, we have an instance of the triumph of principle over temptation to indulge the appetite. It shows us that through religious principle, young men may triumph over the lusts of the flesh and remain true to God's requirements, even though it cost them a great sacrifice. What if Daniel and his companions had made a compromise with those heathen officers and had yielded to the pressure of the occasion by eating and drinking as was customary with the Babylonians? That single instance of departure from principle would have weakened their sense of right and their abhorrence of wrong. You ever think of this, like, this just came to mind just now, and before I finish, I want to share it because maybe it's just my thought, but do you ever think of this, that, because you know how the Lord tests everybody, and we're all, you know, it all depends on how we react to his hand and how, you know, his hand moves in accordance with how we respond to his hand as well. Whenever I see stuff like this and I see about how Daniel passed the test and, of course, his three friends who later are named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you ever think that there were four other Hebrews that were also tested in the same way, but they decided not to do as the Lord said and chose rather to go ahead with the king's command? You know, I can't help thinking there had been a lot more Hebrews that day when that 90-foot statue was out there too, when only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped up and said they wouldn't bow. But it always comes to mind. Yeah. Amen. That's the amazing thing. If you follow light you're given, you're definitely going to get more light, and more responsibilities, of course, come with that. Going on, it says, indulgence of appetite would have involved the sacrifice. Yeah, amen. Don't do as the Romans do. Indulgence of appetite would have involved the sacrifice of physical vigor, clearness of intellect, and spiritual power. One wrong step would probably have led to others, until their connection with heaven been severed. They would have been swept away by temptation. God has said, them that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. While Daniel clung to his God with unwavering trust, the spirit of prophetic power came upon him. While he was instructed of man in the duties of court life, he was taught of God to read the mysteries of future ages and to present to coming generations through figures and similitudes, the wonderful things that would come to pass in the last days. Amen. Okay. I don't know. Do you want to do another reading or do you want to call it a night? It's up to y'all. If you want to do, we do have another one here. Oh, okay, this one's not that long. So take care, brother. God bless. Thanks for helping out. Hold on, library girl, before you start reading, because I want to change the recording URL. So hold on a second.